the ISIS Europe Chemical Update podcast. I'm Vicky Ellis, reporting from Ghent in Belgium for the 9th Biofuels International Conference. Joining me for the podcast to discuss some latest biofuel market news is Sergio Ugarte, who is Managing Director at the consultancy SQ Consult, and he was chairing some of the sessions that we've been at this week. So welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Vicky. Thanks for inviting me here.
Not at all. Thanks for joining us. Now, before we get started on the actual meat of the discussion that we've been going into for the conference, I thought I would just ask you to talk a little bit about your recent study that you did for the International Energy Agency, and it was looking at the transition from first generation to second generation. What did you find?
It aimed at looking at the existing unused capacity of first generation biofuels for both streams, biodiesel and bioethanol, and see the options that they could have to transition towards second generation. Those options were various, were from integrating second generation facilities within the site of first generation production and up to full repurposing of those installations. And this study was commissioned because the RETD of the International Energy Agency was concerned about all these investments that were made in the past and that were fully unused. Therefore, they asked themselves the question, should we try to do something to help those investments, those plants, to stay in the business but producing more sustainable biofuel? From the policy side, can something be done? What will be the benefits and what will be the pathways to make them evolve towards a second generation or towards an advanced biofuels production?
These plants, this unused capacity, how much is there in Europe? What were the findings about whether that could change and what needed to change?
The numbers vary a lot among member states, but if we take the full EU 28, it's about 50% of the installed capacity for biodiesel is not producing biodiesel. It's basically producing nothing or mothballed already. And for the bioethanol, numbers are a bit lower, but it's still large. It's in the range of 30 to 40%. That's for Europe. Then for the world, it's also larger, but we have the problem in Europe that our policy framework really was positive towards these investments in the past 15 years, but then the demand did not grow up as expected because of the many problems, mostly related to sustainability and mostly related to the doubtful reduction of greenhouse gases emissions of first-generation biofuels.
So with that capacity that's not being used, essentially wasted investment, what does that mean for that investment? And where do we go forward? Where does the industry go forward from this point?
It's lost for the investors, which is not fair when there was the policy framework actually very positive towards those investments at that moment, and not anymore. And that also means employment lost, which is not nice, especially in these times in Europe. And the way forward, well, it's our study, by instance, found some benefits of co-locating or retrofitting advanced biofuel plants or advanced bioproducts plants within these first generation plants. So some benefits exist and some policy recommendations, some policy incentives can be put in place to help them into this transition, towards this transition. The way forward, though, is broader, because that's one of the ways, but the way forward in general for the industry of biofuels and bioproducts, I would say, is the integration of business, of conventional business, with advanced biofuels and bioproducts technologies. This means that conventional business, oil companies, conventional business, paper mills, conventional business, cellulose producers, and conventional business, biofuel producers, should start to co-process their products with advanced, with new processes towards advanced and more sustainable products into their processes.
So that's the sort of thing that I think I might bring you back to talk about at the end of the podcast. But before we do, perhaps we can talk about the actual mood of the industry. And I think based on what we've heard over the conference the last few days, it seems to be quite mixed. There is some positivity, but on the other hand, it's perhaps some frustration, and I don't think it's new. What have you gathered about the mood of the industry?
Yeah, indeed, the mood is mixed from very positive elements, but also with a lot of concerns. And I will put my emphasis in the positive elements because the tone of the discussion has already changed. Now you see in this type of conference, and this conference specifically, representatives of the oil industry and representatives from large conventional companies talking about advanced biofuels. And you see the representatives of new companies or companies that already implemented new technologies talking about working together with more conventional companies. So there is a convergence towards the integration of business. And this tone of the discussion was non-existent in the past. So just a few years ago, well, we go back to 10 years ago, it was always very much both type of companies ignoring the other one. 5 years ago, just not ignoring, but trying to diminish the impact of the other over their own development. And now they sit together. And now they share some of the views, and now they can discuss together. So that is very positive. So they do realize that the future is towards converging, towards co-processing, towards cooperating.
It was very interesting to hear, for example, I think one of the representatives from MOL was talking about what they're doing, and he was sort of saying, well, actually, sometimes I've been wondering, am I going to a different conference to the other oil companies previously because they're not actually turning up to the renewable fuels sector? But then, on the other hand, you know, you are seeing some examples, and I think that some people were name-checking Neste and Petrobras. So very interesting. This probably does bring us back to that point then about what the future could be. What do you think is the most important factor to keep an eye on in the biofuels market?
Well, I think that the most important changes will happen in the ethanol, cellulose, lignin world. Why? Because the technology developments for advanced ethanol, production of advanced ethanol, are quite mature already. There are many pilot plants that have already passed the level of testing and are already ready for producing commercially. And the integration is already becoming mainstream, the integration of new technologies and old technologies. So there are companies with their older technology already testing in a pilot plant that is co-located in the same facility of their process producing first generation and advanced ethanol, and now that are ready to jump to produce both at the same levels, at the same volumes. So that is the largest change that we will see in the next 5 years, I assume. And it will be a bit different in the case of biodiesel and that, because the difference in technologies makes not so easy to integrate processes. That does not mean that business considerations do not play a role, like, by instance, even having two different processes but in the same location, because they both will benefit from the license to operate. They both will benefit from logistics, distribution, contracting issues, so they both can operate together, but the benefits are less compared to the ethanol world. But we will see still some integration in the biodiesel world. Other concerns with biodiesel are the health concerns, especially related to pollutants from diesel in general. So I will assume that in the future we will see the population a bit more concerned towards the use of diesel compared to the use of gasoline, for instance.
Excellent. Well, sounds like there's quite a lot for us to keep an eye on then. So thank you very much for your time, Sergio. That's been very interesting, very enlightening. And those of you listening, please do join us again for the next instalment of the ICIS Europe Chemical Update. Or, of course, you can catch up with all of the latest news on the ICIS dashboard. For ICIS here in Kent, I'm Vicky Ellis.